to that. Oh no, it doesn't.
Heard Vapasak Zayin. Salmon's there, and Akashver, she has salmon. What's to be done for a man that the king. What's to be done for a man the king wants to favor him? King wants to honor him? Well, we said that Achashverosh had Mordechai in mind. Initially, he wanted to honor him and raise him up, elevate his position. But that was a few psukim back. By this point, Achashverosh says, "Nah, let's see if we can get away with just honoring him and not raising his position." So he dropped that. He dropped it. You see in this pasuk, he wants to know how do you honor someone. He doesn't ask Haman how do you honor someone and raise him up. Because Achashverosh chose to take away from Mordechai's honor, he chose to take away from his honor. Haman thought that Achashverosh was referring to him because Achashverosh wants to honor someone. It must be him. If Achashverosh had said he wants to raise somebody up, he would know it's not him. You can't raise Haman up any higher than he is. He would know it's not him. Because Achashverosh left that out, he admitted that Haman thought it was him. Because he thought it was him, he thought up this fantastic honor. So Achashverosh's wish to take away from Mordechai's honor actually led to enhancing his honor. Which goes, this is the whole theme of Ben Hafechu. Ben Hafechu goes to the whole Megillah. Ben Hafechu. We had so many examples of this. That they just keep, we keep adding to it. So Haman has this profound idea. King asked him a question, he's got this profound idea. So Haman says to the Melech, Ish, the man, Asher Melech Chavetz Bikarai, that the king wants to honor. That's the end of the pasuk. The man that the king wishes to honor. He didn't answer the question. All he did was throw Achashverosh's words back at him. And that's the end of the pasuk, which means it's a complete thought. All right. So the Yosef of Lekach has a pshat answer, a very, very good pshat answer. Very, very elementary, easy to understand, basic answer. But Haman had two things in mind. He intentionally, purposely repeated Achashverosh's words because he wanted to make sure that he understood Achashverosh. We do that sometimes. Haman was saying, "You mean you want to honor someone? You want to know how to honor someone? Do I got that straight?" He wanted to make sure that he understood Achashverosh's intentions. He didn't want to make a mistake. The second thing that the Yosef Lekach says is that Haman was caught unawares. He went in, he's trying to kill Mordechai. He's got Mordechai on the brain. He's trying to kill him. Achashverosh ambushes him. And he says, "Yo, Haman, what do I do if I want to honor someone? Does he mean me? Does he not mean me? If he not mean me, then who does he mean? What should I do? What should I say?" And Haman didn't have an answer. So he did what we do when faced with such situations. He stalled. So he said, you want to know what to do to someone you want to honor. And in the meantime, his mind is working like a cyclone. Try and figure it out. That's the Yosef Lekach. Shlomo Alkibitz enhances this. So he says another pshat, but it's something which works very well for the Yosef Lekach. He asks, like, what's so complicated? Why does Haman need to buy time? What's going through his Haman's mind? It's a simple question. Give a simple answer. I'm sure Haman's thought about it a million times. He doesn't have an answer out of his pocket. Well, you wanted to impress Achashverosh that he's dealing with the request with the gravity it deserves?
No, but But if, or maybe he's stalling so it doesn't look like he's always thinking about.
Yeah, that's what he's. Yeah, okay, that's a pshat. That's not the pshat that the Shlomo HaKavod says, but that's
maybe
a pshat.
Maybe he's savoring the fact that he's going to be able to say it.
Yeah.
Is he stalling?
So Shlomo HaKavod says that he was faced with some kind of quandary.
What?
He was faced with a quandary, a dilemma. On the one hand, he thinks it's him. He hopes it's him. And his hopes lead him to think it's him. On the other hand, he knows that it could be it's not. So, you know, he's really, really stuck. Because you know how, I mean, he cannot tolerate anyone getting honor that he feels rightfully belongs to him. I just saw a quote from, I think it was Al Gore. He said, "I don't necessarily feel I have to be present. I just mind if somebody else is." He still thinks that he's the president. So Haman had to come up with something. Now, Haman was a brain in these things. Haman had a brain. He had a brain. So he had to think of something that if it would be given to him, it would be honor. It would be respect. It would raise up to his status. But if it would be given to somebody else, it would be meaningless. Now that takes pure sheer genius. And he did. He did.
But leaving someone through the streets like that would be honorable to anybody.
It's not as much of a threat as you might think.
Yeah, because it's just like he's honored and then that's it.
It's over. Goodbye. Go back.
He's not like given a title or anything.
It's very empty. It's fluff. It's very empty. You have someone like Haman. What's he missing? He has the top position. What's he missing?
A
crown.
What? Yeah, but he's not going to get that. He's not going to get that. He's missing, you know, the people might say that there's a rift between him and the king, you know, that the relation, not all is rosy at the palace, that he's not really the power. So that's the things he's missing. So someone that's as great as Haman, that's led through the streets, that is a consolidation of his position and his power. But you take someone that's on a lower level, that's a lower on the totem pole, you lead him through the streets, so that, you know, all right, so Haman will cringe for a day and then it's over. So this was pure genius. And that's why Haman said, Ish Hashem Melachavitz Bikarai, Reb Shlomo HaKavod, that's why he said, Ish is like an anonymous, you know, Ish, whoever the way he translates these words are, Ish, whoever this man is, Ashachavitz HaMelech Bikarai, that the king wants to honor, I'm going to think up something that's appropriate for whoever it is. So the word Ish, according to Shlomo HaKavod, doesn't just mean a man, it means whoever, whichever man. So it's Maduik in the Pasuk. Of all the Mepharshim, the Malbim has a unique approach. The Malbim holds that Haman did answer Achashverosh's question. Haman responded to Achashverosh, if the king wants to show someone that he honors someone, it's irrelevant what means the king uses it. Specifically, you know, the details, the grubby details, nitty-gritty stuff. The honor that's accrued to the person is to show that the king wants to honor him. So he said, whatever you do, just do something that shows you want to honor him. Your wish to honor him is the honor. It's not the clothes, and not the horse, and not the crown. It's, wow, Achashverosh must really want to honor him, and he's doing this.
That's not a very Haman-like thing to say. Haman doesn't seem like a guy who was okay with just being honored, like, you should know, I respect you. Haman wouldn't go like, oh, that's great. He'd want everyone to know it.
Everyone would know it. Yeah, he's putting the accent, the stress, on the king's display of his rotza, his will to honor someone, than the actual means. That is a very Haman thing to do. Haman was an expert. He was the world's biggest expert on covet. The other, you know, other covet-seeking individuals might say, "Oh, I want a new car. I want a kitten, something, you know. I'd like something.
A kid.
But Haman, you know, he goes to the source. The source is Achashverosh. Achashverosh, he distributes covet. So he, that's how the Haman learns. So he reads the pasuk, Ish, you wanna honor someone? So Ish, so take a man, I shall have melech covets bikari, and show that the king wants to honor him. So the Haman said the Haman is answering it. Pasuk Ches. Yaviyu levush malchus. It should be brought royal clothing. Asher lavash by a melech. That the king actually wore. How much money do you think they could sell that on eBay? The king actually wore it. And this is very significant. You know, it's not sufficient to bring royal clothing, have a tailor make something. No, used. It should be something that was worn. The sus and the horse, asher rakav alav hamelech. The king rode on the sus. Vashenitain Ketzer Malchus Bereishai, and the crown of royalty was put on his head. Three things: clothing, horse, crown.
Crown that Achashverosh wore.
That's what it sounds like. That's one shot. That's what it sounds like. Now, why did Haman want this? Again, the Pashup shot is a display of covet.
King for a day.
There's a, you know, we should make a chaveris, like a kuntras, a pamphlet of Persian minhagim. We've come across a few of them. You know, that big cup by the feast that they had a Persian minhag, everyone had to drink. Here's another one. There's a Persian minhag that if one wears royal clothing, rides on the king's horse, so then everyone in the kingdom has to honor his every request, and without having to resort to asking the king. Like someone said, who said, the king for a day? Yeah. Mamish. The Persian minhag. Who said this? This is Rav Shlomo Alkabitz. A Persian minhag. That if one wears royal clothing and he goes on the royal horse throughout the kingdom, he is in effect king for a day, and he can get his every wish is granted without having to ask the king. That's ultimate power. For as long as he's wearing it. Why would Haman, you know, Shlomo Alkabitz says, why did Haman ask for this? Again, for someone else it would be meaningless. So what are they going to ask for? They're going to ask for meaningless things. For one day they're going to get their wish. But for Haman, it had all the meaning in the world. Because once he gets on that pony, and he puts on the clothing, what do you think he's going to ask for? What does he want? You know, Haman saw that this is a fulfillment of his dreams. He came to the palace to ask for Mordechai's life. And now Achashverosh seemingly wishes to honor him. And Haman asks, you know, you want to honor someone? This is the way of honoring him. Put him on that horse. Put the clothing on it. And then Haman had in the front of his mind, not the back of his mind, that as soon as he gets on that horse, he's going to hang Mordechai. And he won't even have to ask the king. Brilliant. Brilliant. If he gets on the horse. All he's got to do is get on the horse. And then he has Mordechai's life. And Rav Shlomo Alkabitz said he even had a backup plan. Like even if he didn't want to, you know, we saw before in the Mefarshim, Haman didn't want to come out openly against Mordechai. He wanted to pin the blame on others. When you strike at your enemy, it's always best to strike a hidden blow. This way, you're exonerated and people can't take revenge against you. So even if, you know, he wouldn't come out directly against Mordechai and have him hung, but if he'd go through the streets and Mordechai didn't bow down to the one who's wearing the royal garments and the one that is on the royal horse and according to some views had the crown, so then Mordechai for sure would be, his days would be numbered. So either he could have him put to death, just like that, or failing that, he'd have him put to death for not bowing down to the king for the day. It's one thing not to bow down to Haman, but it's another thing not to bow down to the king's robe and the king's horse.
He wouldn't have bowed down.
I think Haman was fairly, I'm sure Haman was fairly confident that Mordechai wouldn't bow down.
Mordechai's view? He's the king, why wouldn't he bow down?
Because it's Haman.
Yeah.
Mordechai already moved
that down. Right, it's
yeah, but he wasn't king then.
It's Haman. Doesn't matter.
You have to bow down to a king.
But he did it for
Haman. Haman was still not in that position then.
Not Haman.
He mean, if this is the backup plan, is Haman doesn't get it?
Even if Haman doesn't have him put to death immediately.
Previously? Yeah.
But okay, he could start a process.
Everybody bowed down to Haman before also.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't bow down. I think we know enough
before,
of Chazal to know that Mordechai would not bow down.
Did everyone have to bow down to him? Or was like,
yes.
No, he wouldn't bow down. He wouldn't move. He wouldn't say Shalom to him. He would do everything exactly the way he did before.
I got Haman very angry.
There's a medrash in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. That's the name of the medrash. So you see, Haman asked for three things. He asked for the robes, the horse, and the crown. Now you look in the next pasuk. Achashverosh tells Haman to take the robes and the horse. Achashverosh doesn't tell him to take the crown. What happened to the crown?
He thought that was too much.
Yes, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer said that as soon as Haman asked for the crown, Achashverosh says, Russia! Achashverosh calls Haman a Russia. Isn't that ironic? Russia! Im kain, if so, mahi naftali, so what do I have left? You're taking away my robes, you're taking away my horse, you're taking away my crown too? You're Russia. You're evil. You're Russia. So Haman, in his infinite wisdom, retracted that request. He said, okay, I take it back. Just the horse and the robe. And that's why in the next pasuk, the crown isn't mentioned, because Haman said, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking. We know what he was thinking, but I don't know what I was thinking.
Why is he calling him Russian? It's not really apropos.
I said it was ironic.
But Achashverosh didn't even think it was for Russia.
I think Achashverosh had a pretty good idea what Haman thought. Achashverosh was playing with him.
So enthusiastically.
Achashverosh was playing with him. Yes.
He thought
he was going to kill him. Well, he had a dream that Haman was about to kill him.
And then Haman came
he was tested. In fact, I think that in this area, Haman failed the test, because if he had a dream that Haman was going to replace him, killing him, and then he asked for the crown, I think that added fuel to the fire. The Rekeach has a remez in this pasuk. Kedarka b'kodesh. Yaviya Lavush Malchus. Royal clothing should be brought. The word Yaviyu should be brought is Yud Vez Yud Alavav. Yaviyu should be brought. It should be brought. If you rearrange the letters, it forms the word Aleph Vav Yud Vez Yud. Ivy. Ivy, not Ivy. IV is not spelled with a vase, it's spelled with two vavs. IV means my enemy. Haman thought that he's having these garments brought for his own personal edification. But in truth, they're being brought for his enemy. IV. Instead of Yaviyu, IV. It's a Nevuah Ktana. Kadosh Baruch Hu caused the words. Yes.
Yeah, why are they zochet to have so many of these?
Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a person a part of his own downfall. He puts the words into his mouth. He has to be his own soothsayer to spell his own doom.
So if we're really careful about what we say, we could avoid ever having a downfall?
No. Well, David HaMelech knew he was going to die on Shabbos, so he learned the whole Shabbos, and it didn't seem to help him.
For a while.
Right. So if you're careful what you say, it'll help you. Be careful what you say. That's just good advice for life. It's good life advice. Be careful what you say.
And don't speak in Hebrew, because it's harder to do that kind of stuff in English.
You mean speak in Hebrew?
I transfer the
what
sound.
I say? Don't speak in Hebrew.
No, don't try to
mean because all you gotta do is transfer the letters and then rearrange them. Now it's even more confusing because you have to think in two languages.
Oh no, no, no.
You ready? Oh no, let's rearrange them.
The Targum.
Oh, he. No, he.
The Targum says, he adds to this, the Targum tells us that Haman was not just suggesting that you clothe someone with royal robes as the king once wore, or the horse. There was a significance. The Targum says that he should wear the royal clothing that the king wore on the day of his coronation. The coronation robes. And they had a special horse which was designated for the king to ride on the day he was coronated. So it's even more of a sinister significance to it. Mm-hmm. Haman, you know, is coronating someone. He's coronating himself. And Ahasuerus saw it from his coronation. He asked for it. The Ibn Ezra has a very interesting shot, which I found, which I saw. Ibn Ezra says, somebody asked me when it says to put it on his head, the royal crown on his head. Somebody asked me, what does it mean on his head? Whether it means on Haman's head. So that's one of the pshatim. That's Rashi's pshat. Ibn Ezra has a pshat. Yes. Rosho means the head of the horse. It says, exactly. Besus asher rachav alav hamelech, and the horse that the king rode on. Vashinita in Keser Malchus Beroshi, put a royal crown on the head of the horse. It flows very nicely. They should put the crown on the horse's head. That's the Ibn Ezra.
What purpose would that serve?
So the Reb Shlomo Alkabetz asked this very question. He brings the Ibn Ezra, and he says that's also something which enhances the covet of the wearer.
Doesn't he explain it
that way? He says that a king that rides on a horse, there's a meaning to a king riding on a horse. And the Gemara actually says the Al-Sus Melech. Someone that rides on a horse, that's his mode of transportation, that's a simon of Malchus. That's a simon of Malchus. Someone that's more humble rides on a donkey. Horses enable one to get to wherever he has to go immediately. You know, it's the swiftest form of transportation. So that shows that you rule. That shows that you rule over everything. So when a king rides on a horse, it signifies something. It's symbolic. That the horse represents his kingdom, and the king on top of the horse is his dominion, his malchus,
so
over the
crown
thing.
On the horse.
If you put a crown on the horse, so then you're making a statement that he's not just a melech over common people, he's a melech over kings. It's called Melech Malchei Hamlachim. There were kings that were under Ahasuerus. So Haman was suggested that you shouldn't just give a horse, you should have the ultimate way of honoring someone is to show that his covet is over and above the covet of kings. You put the and according to the Ibn Ezra, they did actually put the crown on the horse's head. And you have to explain why in the next pasuk isn't the crown mentioned. You know, according to Rashi, the crown isn't mentioned because they didn't do it. But according to the Ibn Ezra, Ahasuerus would not have an objection to putting the crown on the horse's head. It's not his crown. You're talking about... They had crowns for horses. According to Ibn Ezra, we're not talking about Ahasuerus' crown at all. We're talking about some kind of ornament that they put on a horse. So Shlomo Alkabetz explains that they did do it, but they didn't mention it because... They only mentioned the things that they did to Mordechai. Putting the crown on the horse's head wasn't done to Mordechai, so it left it out, that's all.
That's interesting. I think the art scroll actually translates it like that.
Like what?
This pshat.
Pasuk Tes. V'nasayin alavush v'asus, and it should be given, the lavush, the garments, v'asus and horse, ayarish, through the hands of a dignitary. Haman's adding that not only should these things be done, but it should be performed by someone who's a dignitary, Misari HaMelech, an officer, because if an officer puts the clothing, the raiment, and the crown on the subject of the honor, that's even more. So it should be done through a sar, Misari HaMelech, not Misarisi HaMelech, not Mi'avdi HaMelech, Misari HaMelech, Hapartamin is a special division, a special division of soldiers, of dignitaries,
division of officers,
They should actually put the clothing on him. The person shouldn't have to do it himself. It should be put on him. The king wants to honor him. And they should lead him. He shouldn't have to ride the horse himself. Everything should be done for him. In the streets of the city, in public. And they should proclaim in front of him, Kaka, so, or thus, should be done to the man, Asher Melech Chavetz Bikar, which the king wishes to grant him honor. This is Haman's master plan.
Was Haman one of the parts of this?
No, he was above them. But Achashverosh considered him eligible. Like we said before, Haman was the only one there. So whether Achashverosh purposely asked Haman because he wanted to knock him down, which is a possibility because he saw him as a threat at this point, or whether he was just available, in any case, Haman was the man, so it all works out good. Right, there's a lengthy explanation here from the commentary that I saw. It's called the Shar Bas Rabim. It's a commentary called Shar Bas Rabim, the public gate, the gate of the many. Sha'ar, Shinayin Resh, Bas, Beis, Saf, Rabim, Resh, Beis, Yud Mem. Shar Bas Rabim. He has a number of questions on this whole interchange here. I mean, what, you know, we could answer them in different ways, but he has one answer that answers them all. So we're going to follow his mahal. He wants to know what was it that caused Achashverosh, that Achashverosh specifically wanted Haman to be the person to do it. There were so many people, you know, this is not Haman's position, this is not his job, there's people that are in charge of these things. I mean, this can't be the first time that the king ever honored someone. They have someone, you know, the officer in charge of internal affairs. Get some minister. Haman was the absolute power. He had the ring of the king.
He's part of the Parthian group?
No. Haman was like above. Haman was like he was the melech. He had the power. He had the power to issue laws that Achashverosh could not repeal. Haman was the man. And Achashverosh specifically asked him. The Shar Bas Rabim finds this something. It's a matter which has to be explained. There was something about it. He didn't just happen to take Haman. Achashverosh, it has to be Haman and no one else. Another thing which bothers him is why the crown is left out. And we've already answered that, but he's going to answer it in his own way. Haman suggested that they should put a crown on his head, and then in the actual execution of Haman's plan, the crown isn't mentioned. We answered it with two different truths, but he has his own way. A third question he asked, this is a very, very intriguing question. Throughout all the generations, when a king has a disturbing dream, and Achashverosh did have a disturbing dream, he had a dream that someone was standing over him ready to kill him. Pare, Nebuchadnezzar. What did they, you know, how did they react? What was Pare's reaction when he woke up in the morning and he had a dream? What did he do?
Asked someone to interpret it.
He asked someone to interpret his dreams. And he asked many people. They interpreted it. He said, no, that's not it. Until he got to Yosef. And Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing. Nebuchadnezzar went straight to Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar not only asked Daniel to interpret his dream, he told Daniel, first tell me what I dreamed and then interpret it. And Daniel did it, of course. Daniel was able to tell him what the dream was. So why didn't Achashverosh have his dream interpreted? Right away he's jumping into this. Honoring Mordechai, why don't you find out what the dream means? What's the significance of the dream? And the fourth thing which he asks, is what's the immediacy? And why is it so imperative that it should be done right away?
Also, wasn't it in the middle of the night?
Yes, according to some Mepharshim, it was in the middle of the night. Why was it so important to do it immediately? There's a sense of urgency here. We've dealt with these points all along, but he's going to hear us one mahal. So he brings a medrash. And the medrash has a different version of his dream. I mean, one version, which we discussed until now, is he had a dream that Haman's going to kill him. The Shar Bas Rabim brings a different medrash. He had in a dream, he sees Haman, But not that Haman was trying to kill him. He sees Haman all dressed up in his royal clothing. And he's going back and forth, you know, with the horse and everything. And he has the crown on his head. And he got scared. Like, see, it wasn't Haman. It was, in the dream. In the dream, he saw someone that was going, you know, big Demarcus. So he saw that he's going to be replaced.
So he's being replaced, or
he saw that he understood that there's some, you know, the guy on the horse isn't him. Somebody else is riding around on the horse with his crown and with his with the horse in his dream, and it's not him.
Oh, so in a way, he was asking Haman to interpret his dream.
So he was asking Haman to interpret his dream. He was asking Haman to interpret the dream. And that's why Achashverosh, you know, was so makbid. He was so makbid that it should be done right away, because there's two ways this dream could be interpreted. One way is that he'll lose his crown, or probably lose his head, and then someone else will put it on or replace him. And the other way is a fairly painless way that he could grant someone honor, have the guy put on the crown, put on the robe, put on the thing, and that'll be the fulfillment of the dream.
But then why would he not do the crown? Because then that wouldn't.
So he did the crown.
Dream.
He did the crown. So he said, that's why. I mean, number one. That's why it had to be Haman. Because in the dream, Haman was leading the person. It had to be Haman. In the dream, Haman was leading the person. It had to be Haman. It couldn't have been anyone else. That's why he didn't call for the interpreters, because he knew what it meant. He didn't have to call for it. He knew what it meant, and he was trying to make this he was trying to fulfill the prophecy in a way that wouldn't cause him to lose his malukah. That's why it had to be done right away. Because if he tarries, so then the other way could come true. And that's why he left out the crown. Not that he didn't do the crown. He did the crown. He had to do the crown. If he wouldn't do the crown, it wouldn't work. He had to fulfill the dream down to the last detail. The Shabbos rising, but he didn't mention the crown, because that's the thing that bothered him the most. But he did it. Haman suggested he did it, but Achashverosh couldn't bring himself to mention the crown, because that was the fear. The fear came from the crown, so that held. You know, that caused him to hold back. He couldn't say the word. Put the crown. You know, he said just. He told Haman, take the clothing, take the horse, do like you said. He couldn't say take the clothing and the crown. You know, he couldn't. He said, do like you said. What do we see in Pasuk Yud? Let's go on to Pasuk Yud. Vayemer HaMelech L'Haman, the king said, Haman, Maher. Hurry, Kachas Levush, Resasus, Kasher Dibarta. Just like you said, so according to the Sharbas Rabin, the words Kasheri Barta include the crown. Oh, Sheri Barta, Vasei Kain, L'Mordechai Yehudi. Okay, Val. Vasei Kain, L'Mordechai Yehudi. Hayesha B'Shah HaMelech. He told him which Mordechai, in case someone shouldn't think that, you know, find a different. No. I'll topple dub her and don't drop anything. Mikol Asher Dibarta, from anything which you said.
Yeah, including the crown.
Everything, yeah, including the crown, according to the Shabbos Rambam. Don't drop anything. Nothing, Haman. Nothing. And this was the final. This pasuk is the turning point in the entire Megillah. From this point on, everything is downhill for Haman. He's down. He's down. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has accepted the treatise of Klal Yisrael, and he's down. So the Medrash says, Achashverosh tells him to take it. Haman says, which Mordechai? And the Melech says, Mordechai HaYehudi. Haman says there's a lot of Mordechai Yehudis in Shushan. He said the one that Esther set up with a Sanhedrin. You know, Shara Melech means, you know, there's a Sanhedrin in the gates of the king, and Mordechai is the head of the Sanhedrin. That Mordechai. Haman tells Achashverosh, I beg of you, kill me, and don't make me do this. Ketol Yasi, kill me, shoot me, and don't make me do this. And the king says, you're going to do it. Do it. Now. This is Mardik. It's not Mardik. Chazal and Megillus. Esther is just like, no rice. So it sounds, you know, the Metagon says that Achashverosh seemed to know that this is like the worst thing you could do to Haman. He was aware of it. The Vilna Gaon has a different approach. The Vilna Gaon says that, you know, Achashverosh knew, this is the Vilna Gaon L'shitasa, Achashverosh knew that Esther was raised in Mordechai's house. He didn't know where her bloodline ran from, but he knew that she was raised in Mordechai's house. He knows that Esther is inviting Haman to the Mishnah. Same, you know, this is the way his mind is working. Esther loves Mordechai. He raised her. Esther's inviting Haman. Esther's inviting Haman to the Mishnah. If Haman hates Mordechai, so then Esther wouldn't invite Haman to the Mishnah. It's wrong for turning things around. You know, we've been going in different directions with this, you know. Like Haman thought, since Esther's inviting him, so it must be she hates Mordechai. And Achashverosh said, since Esther's inviting Haman, it must be Haman likes Mordechai. Which means, according to Vilna Gaon, Achashverosh was really in the dark. I mean, you know. But Haman held it in, because Haman never told Achashverosh that he was mad that Mordechai didn't bow. Because Haman didn't want... You can get a headache from this. But in any case, the Vilna Gaon says that Esther loves Mordechai, and Esther... And Haman's coming to the palace. So Achashverosh thought, you know... You know why Haman's coming to... He said, Esther has this big request, and she won't tell me what it is, but she's going to tell me today what it is. And she's going to tell me today by the party, by the Mishnah. Today, and he made this whole cheshbon, it can't be a personal thing because she has everything. It must be for someone that she's close to, and that's Mordechai. So Achashverosh already had figured out that Esther's going to ask for something from Mordechai to honor Mordechai. And he goes to the book, you know, Sefer Zechronis, to find out what he can honor Mordechai with. Haman's invited to the party. Why would Esther invite Haman to a party that the sole purpose of the party is to honor Mordechai? It must be Haman's in on it, and he also wants to honor Mordechai. If he also wants to honor Mordechai, then he shouldn't have any objections to be the one to leading him through the streets. So according to the Vilna Gaon, Achashverosh had the best of intentions when he told Haman to lead him through. He said,
Yeah, but according to the Targum,
how is that? According to the Talmud, Haman wanted to... you know, off himself.
Yeah, so how does that work according to the Vilna Gaon?
There's more than one way of understanding that. Okay. They're not mutually exclusive. Achashverosh could have been enough of a rush to cover all the bases. Yeah. So it's not a bazillion. It's according to the Vilna Gaon. That's why he asked Haman. We have different pshat on why he asked Haman. One pshat is because he happened to be there. Another pshat is because he wanted to grind it in his nose in broken glass. Another pshat... it's because he felt Haman was a threat to him. Another pshat was because, hey, Haman, according to the Vilna Gaon's pshat, you see how sneaky Amalek is. I mean, they're bootlickers. I mean, it just gives you an insight to the psyche of Amalek. They are when they have to be bootlickers, they're bootlickers. Their mamish is a snake. You can never trust them because they have the ability. They're master illusionists. And they have the ability of projecting believable illusions. That they, you know, that did it. That Haman was capable of giving off the impression that he's coming to the palace to give Mordechai honor when he was coming for just the opposite. This is Mamash, it gives you, an amkus, a depth in what Amalek is capable of. They'll do anything, and they're capable of anything to destroy their enemies, the Jewish people. Achashverosh, the Vilna Gaon said, why was Achashverosh in a hurry? He has a different shot why he was in a hurry. because he wants to preempt Esther. He wants to make sure that Mordecai is paid off before the mistress. He was in a rush.
What?
He was in a rush because he wanted to make sure Mordecai got rewarded before the party. Because Esther would say, oh, I'm asking for something big for Mordecai. He said, oh, yeah, I just took care of him this morning. A preemptive strike. So he was in a rush. That's another pshat where he was in a rush. The Vilna Gaon says something very similar to what we said in the previous pasuk, that Achashverosh, in his brilliance, chose an empty form of honor. Because he really didn't want to give, he didn't want to give Mordecai anything substantial, so he gave him a horse ride, you know. Get a horse ride. You could dress up like a king and ride. So the Vilna Gaon obviously doesn't learn that there's a Persian minhag that once you're wearing it, you can get whatever you want. The Vilna Gaon says it's meaningless. So we have, you know, extremes in that as well. Is this something which encapsulates total power, that you wear this, you're in total power, or is totally meaningless? The Vilna Gaon is of this, he's of the opinion it's totally meaningless because Achashverosh wasn't in the business of dispensing honor. The Keach on this pasuk has a remez. Achashverosh tells Haman, "Al tapel." Al tapel means nothing should drop. Now that's a very interesting way of saying things. Don't drop anything. Don't drop anything. You know, don't drop any of the details. Whatever, you know, don't drop. The Gematria of Al Tapel is 541. It works out. Al is 31. Taf, 431. Lamed, 461. Pei, it's 541. Al Tapel is 541. And that's the same gematria as the word Yisrael. Yisrael is also 541, exactly. Al tapel means don't drop. Al tapel also means don't fall. Nefila means to fall. The Haman thinks that he's on top and Klal Yisrael is fallen. Al tapel. Achashverosh is saying Yisrael is not going to fall. Yisrael is not going to fall.
Again, that was put into his mouth?
Yes, Mavork Tan. Al Tapel. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayikach Haman is a levush. He took the garments of his assistant horse. Vayalbesh is Mordecai. He garbs Mordecai. Vayikiveyu b'chay v'ir. And he rides through the street of the city, Vayikrelefanav, and he proclaims in front of him, Kacha Yehosele Ish, so shall be done to the man, Asher Hamelech Havet Bikaret, which the king finds and wishes to favor. All right, there's a number of Ramazim on this pasuk, but the Yosef Lakach explains that the king wanted Haman to do this personally. He's another pshat why the king wanted him to do it personally. We had various pshatim. The Yosef Lakach says the king in all innocence wanted to do this personally because since Haman was the greatest dignitary in the land, so if he does it, so then that, you know, that increases the cover that Mordecai is going to have. There's no greater honor you can give to Mordecai to have him led through the streets by the greatest dignitary. So according to the Yosef Lakach, Achashverosh had no ulterior motives. He just wanted to honor Mordecai as much as possible. Why do you want to honor Mordecai as much as possible? Because this way Esther couldn't ask for anything. You see, if he would have sent him through the streets with a flunky, so then Esther would ask for something from Mordecai. And Achashverosh would say, oh, I just honored him. Oh, you mean when the garbage collector put him through the streets? Oh, come on, Achashverosh, you could have done better than that. That's not honor. I want something big. So he didn't want Esther to be able to say that. So everything was the maximum. And if everything is the maximum, then Haman had to be the one. That's according to Yosef Lakach. The Gemara, there's a number of famous Gemaras on this. One Gemara, the Gemara says, "Vayikiveya b'chay v'ir." He rode him through the streets of the city. So Vaikivei means he rode him. So the Gemara Megillah, that Tazayin, says that Mordechai chose not to ride on the horse. He rode on Haman. Haman was the horse. Vaikivehu. I mean, you read, because it just Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. Vayikach Haman is the Labush for Sassus. Haman took the garment and the Sassus. Vayabish is Mordechai. Haman dressed Mordechai. So who are we talking about? Haman dressed Mordechai. Vayikivehu, and he rode him. Who's him? The one that was previously made. He wrote Haman.
So how does that work out? With
well, these are, you know, these, with the source, with the horse.
No, with the daughter of Haman throwing the...
Oh, that was cool. Well, you know, not all Midrashim, you know, are so easy to work out with one another. And this is one of them. But it could be worked out because there is a Midrash. It could be that this is what the Gemara means. Not that Haman, he was on top of Haman the whole time. There's a Midrash, right? There's a Midrash that he said he was fasting. Yeah, Mordechai was fasting for 3 days. So he couldn't get up on the horse. So he rode on top of Haman, and then it could be that he went from Haman to the horse. So you could work it out. It could be worked out. He was too weak. I mean, there's a whole Gemara. The Gemara says that Mordechai was besakai, betanisai. He hadn't taken a bath. He hadn't taken a shave. You can't put on royal garments when you're dirty. And Haman says, I've come to take you to the city. And Mordechai says, I can't go dressed like this to the ball. I need a bath, I need a shave. So the Gemara and Megillah says that Esther closed up all the bathhouses in the city. They went looking for bathhouses, and there were none available. They were all closed. There's like a big sign on all the bathhouses, closed for the holidays. Go on fishing. Be back soon. You know. He couldn't. You know.
She did it purposely.
Oh yeah.
She knew that this was gonna happen.
So Mordechai. So Haman says, "Well, Mordechai, you gotta get on the horse." You know. He says, okay, but I can't. And Haman said, well, there's no bathhouse keepers, and there's no barbers. And Haman used to be a barber. By trade, Haman was a barber. So Mordechai said, I seem to recall, Haman, that you've practiced that trade. So why don't you do it? And Haman says, no. And he said, well, I'm not getting on the horse. So Haman gave Mordechai a haircut, and Haman had to... give him a bath. Yeah, but there's three tanaim that you're allowed to. I'm sure that in your lifetime you have gotten a haircut from a guy. One of them is if there's a window open to a public place, which I'm sure Mordechai had other reasons for doing that. another heter is if there's a mirror. And the third heter is if the one getting the haircut is not a chashiv. Because the chash that the guy will cause injury. And in this case, I don't think Mordechai was afraid of Haman killing him. Okay?
Yeah, that
would
work best.
How about that? Now, that question bothered me 20 years ago. I looked up in Shulchan Aruch. I remember this mamash that... Adam Chashev. So he had to do it. His mamash had to do it. And we're going to go into this Medrash in Rishon LeZion more on Yom Shlishi. But, you know... For today, we'll stop over here today.
Tomorrow is no shir?
Mondays is no shir, ever.